You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Welcome to Earth Station 1, a weekly podcast dedicated to all things sci-fi, fantasy, and much, much more. Sit back and relax and enjoy the show. Hey everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Earth Station 1 podcast. That's right, folks. We are finally almost recovered from Dragon Con, and man, we had a blast. As you could tell, we've already posted our Little Shop of Horrors panel, and we've also posted our ESO Network family reunion special, and it was just amazing. We had a blast. I had one of my ultimate fantasies come true, an ESO sing-along. And man, it was awesome having that. I could never have dreamt of that. And, you know, Skid Row, that was just awesome. We had a blast doing it. And a whole room of people singing along with us. It was just, it was awesome. And, you know, tonight we're doing a two-part episode. We're splitting this episode into two different pieces. We're, of course, at the beginning of it, we're going to be doing our summer movie wrap-up, which we do every year. And I think we did fairly well with it. And we'll be finding out if we had any egg on our face or if there's any, you know, really bad predictions we made. And man, there was an interesting combination this year. So it should be interesting. And before we get started with that, because we'll have our second part later and we'll introduce everyone for that when we our fall TV preview. And so before I get started, though, let's welcome this week's crew. For this segment, we have with us, of course, as always, Mr. Mike Gordon.
Howdy.
How are you, sir?
I am, I think, about 85% recovered from Dragon. Look, we don't know if I'm ever really at 100%. So at least not for this show.
Ooh,
I know.
I can make lots of comments about that, but I'm going to keep my mouth shut.
Of course. So, and as could we all. What you said before is absolutely correct. It's one of the best Dragon Cons ever. I'm sure those people who were not there are kind of sick of us hearing or talking about it. So, but there will be a little bit more, I'm sure, as we go through, especially in the shout outs and whatnot, Con Report about Dragon Con. And we've got a whole episode devoted to the wrap up with our Dragon Con Con Report crew to record next week, which will air. And then we'll take a little bit of a break from it.
Oh, yeah. You will actually go 3 whole months without us talking about Dragon Con.
Yes. At least we may mention it, but it won't be a full topic of discussion. No.
Exactly. So it should be a lot of fun. And we have with us also is our two movie people. Of course, ladies first, we have Ashley Pauls with us.
Hello. Thanks for having me back.
Hey, always great. So how was your summer?
It was good. Overall, the summer movies weren't, I don't think, quite as good as sometimes in years past, but we had a couple really, really good ones that I'm excited to own on DVD once they're released. So a little bit weaker summer overall, but there were definitely some good ones to see in the theater.
I actually picked up Civil War yesterday. So
I did as well.
So it's pretty darn awesome. And, of course, returning to the show, Mr. Alex Autry.
Always a pleasure to be back.
Welcome back, Mr. Seventh Row himself.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I agree about the overall. It's very interesting. The summer movies kind of averaged out this year. Not too many standouts, although there was two that were big heavy hitters. But yeah, overall, just a lot of tent poles did not hold up.
Mm-mm. It seemed like there was a lot of expectations for this summer, but a lot of it fell flat on their face.
Yeah.
In a lot of cases. And we'll talk all about that in a moment. But of course, we wanted to remind everyone that this show is brought to you by the fine folks at the ESO Amazon.com store, where you can find all kinds of really cool ESO merchandise where you could shop to your heart's delight. We even might have some of the summer movies that we're talking about for pre-release, or some are already out already. It's really amazing how quickly they are coming out with turnaround. So, of course, you know, for me and everyone else, we want to hear from you guys. Please write us esopodcast@gmail.com or call us at 404-963-9057. We heard some great people, some feedback on the show. We met some great listeners at Dragon Con, and we just, you know, met some not so great listeners at Dragon Con too. So, but overall, all of them are great to us. So, you know, thank you everybody for listening, as we like to say. And it just, when we have people come up and talk about the show to us, it just, it makes our days, because we know, you know, it's just not my mom listening. So that alone is worth it.
Although, hi to Mike's mom. Hi.
She's probably waving at her computer screen.
Well, good. I don't feel like an idiot for doing it myself.
Exactly. So let's get started with this week's topic of the summer movie wrap-up. Should I go through first and, you know, see how we did? Or do you guys want to talk about, you know, how the movies, the summer season was itself? Because you brought it up a little bit, Alex.
Well, Ashley did it first, but that's because ladies first. That said, I think let's just go down the list. See how we did.
Okay. All right. Because then let's go through the list first, and then we'll talk about, you know, overall reactions to everything and which ones, you know, we'll do our top three or something after this. All right. Most popular film. Ashley had Captain America. Alex had Captain America. Mike Gordon and Mike Faber both had Finding Dory. I don't think either of us were all that off.
It depends on what you're looking at. As far as the domestic gross, Finding Dory was the winner by about $75 million, which is amazing and proof that you just don't bet against Pixar. However, for worldwide box office, Captain America wins by $200 million.
Wow.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So just big numbers for both of them. So going from the domestic aspect, absolutely Finding Dory outshined. It had a lot of stuff going for it. The fact that there were no other family-oriented films that came out during the three-week run that it was number one was big for it. But yeah, there was no denying it. I mean, people wanted to see that film.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And I didn't think that was even the best animated film this summer. But we'll talk about that at the end.
Yeah.
Biggest flop. Alex had Sausage Party.
I did.
You did?
I did.
Ashley had Alice in the Looking Glass, which I think spent 5 minutes in the theater. Mike Gordon had Warcraft. But she was pretty much on there. And I had Ghostbusters. I don't think any of us were that far off. Ghostbusters actually did a little bit better than...
But Ghostbusters was in the top 10.
Yeah.
So I think you have to take yourself out of that.
Yeah.
Ghostbusters pulled down $127 million, which was fantastic. However, if we're taking people out for that sort of thing, I also have to be eliminated for Sausage Party, which has almost done $100 million. What the hell is wrong with you people? Alice Through the Looking Glass did $77 million. So it looks like it's going to be Warcraft, but that did huge overseas. It was amazing bank in China.
Really?
So yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was huge in China. So absolutely, you can expect a Warcraft sequel before a Ghostbusters sequel.
I don't think there's going to be a Ghostbusters sequel.
No.
But it'll be in Chinese.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Biggest surprise. Mike Gordon had Central Intelligence. Was that the Rock movie?
Yeah, that was Rock and Kevin Hart.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm kind of surprised that it – I mean, I wasn't surprised that it ended up in the top 10 because I kind of figured that. I thought it had a chance to get in the top five, but it wasn't – it just wasn't strong enough. I was thinking that it was going to be another Lethal Weapon, but it really wasn't.
Mm-mm. All right. Ashley had Suicide Squad. I think she was successful with that.
Yeah, I think that was a pretty good guess.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I mean, it's solid at number four for the summer. So that's outstanding.
Mm-hmm. And that's one I'm definitely going to be owning when it comes out. Alex had Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
We said enough about that one already. Yeah. And I had Turtles.
Yeah, that's.
Yeah. Exactly. I guess I bit the big one on that one.
You know what though? Considering everything going for Turtles, there was no reason to not think that could happen. Mm-mm. The fact that it didn't is kind of surprising. But again, this was a weird summer for movies. So mm-hmm.
Yeah, looking at the list of the top 10, 20, however far down you want to go, it is odd. It doesn't seem to correspond very well with how well people were talking about these movies. Some of the movies that people were talking about and some of the movies that people were just hating on did really well compared to ones that people thought were pretty solid.
Mm-hmm.
Very like looking at this list, never would have guessed what order to put these in at all.
No, exactly. All right. Most looking forward to, this is what we said. This is back at the beginning of May, folks.
Yep.
Mike Gordon was looking most forward to Civil War, Star Trek, and a little movie called Kubo and the Two Strings.
Absolutely. And I was not disappointed by any of those.
Okay. Alex was most looking forward to Star Trek.
Mildly disappointed by that.
Really?
Yeah. I just didn't feel it was as strong as Into Darkness.
Ashley, Captain America, Star Trek, and Suicide Squad.
I feel actually pretty good about my top two choices. Captain America and Star Trek were actually my favorite movies of the summer. Though I do have to confess, Suicide Squad was actually my biggest disappointment, unfortunately, for the summer. So,
wow.
It did not... I feel bad. I feel horrible for saying this, actually, but the more time that's passed since I've seen it, actually, my opinion of it has gone slightly down. So, unfortunately, that's one I do not think I will be on that DVD.
Okay. Wow. You were on our Suicide Squad show, right? Yeah. I don't remember.
Yes, it was.
I don't remember hearing that.
I think that.
Yeah, I was.
Go ahead.
It's interesting. The more, like, right after I saw it, I felt a little more positive. But it's interesting. I found that the more time that has passed, I think I actually ended up liking Batman versus Superman better. So,
wow.
Although I have not seen it again, so it could change. But for whatever reason, my opinion of it actually has dropped since I saw it in theaters. So
interesting.
Wow.
And I said at the time that it was funnel cake entertainment.
It was.
But it was really enjoyable while you were digesting it. But then once it was over, there was nothing to it. Well, thank you.
It was kind of like how Jennifer Hartshorn and I felt about Star Trek Into Darkness. We liked it in the theater, but then we started thinking about it.
Right.
And it was like,
Yeah, but for whatever reason, it's one of those ones that if it's on, I will watch it every time. I just had one of those moments with it. Beyond had some good moments to it, but just it didn't click with me for some reason. And it may have been Yelchin. It may have been the Yelchin thing, that it was just too soon.
Okay, I totally understand that.
But yeah.
We mentioned it when we reviewed it that, mm-hmm. The ending is such a feel good ending. And then you get that 1-2 punch of, losing Leonard and Yelchin. And you're just like, oh, like you just leave the theater kind of sad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Because, we'll never experience that. Cast again, like we won't have, even if they recast Chekhov or don't have them, we will feel that going forward.
Yeah. Right. No, what were yours, Mike?
Mine were Captain America, Star Trek, and Finding Dory.
And you're living right up there.
I'm definitely up there. If I only knew at the time how good Kubo was, I would have, added that to the list. But that was, truthfully, to me, that was my biggest surprise of the summer.
Mm-hmm.
Of how much I enjoyed it and loved it. It's just a really great film. But, you have the list right there, Alex. What were the top 10?
looking at, and it's kind of weird because the box office results are done by quarters. And the April-June numbers has number one, Finding Dory, Captain America, The Jungle Book with $363 million.
Really?
Yeah. Big film for them.
Oh yeah, that's yeah,
and actually a really pleasant surprise as well. That was a solid film this year. And then it does this, and then for April to June, it does a massive drop. 363 for Jungle Book, number four, X-Men Apocalypse with 155. And then Central Intelligence at 127. The Angry Birds movie, which I don't think we even bothered talking about, pulled in 107. And then Independence Day Resurgence, which my wife wanted to see badly, and then they did it badly, and then we never bothered seeing it. The Conjuring 2 pulled 102 million.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Just one of those things. Those movies do really well with that. Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows with 82, Alice Through the Looking Glass 77. And then if we were to look at the quarter 3, which actually goes through September. So, your number one movie for that quarter was The Secret Life of Pets.
Really?
$362 million. Outperformed the Suicide Squad.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
I definitely didn't see that one coming.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people did. And that was one of those ones that was it was done by Illumination, which, of course, you know, has the Minions backing. So they, you know, stick the Minions on the front of it and everybody goes, ooh, have to go see. But apparently a very well put together film that a lot of people liked. And it definitely had a rewatchability factor that maybe not as strong as Dory. But definitely had kids coming back.
Yeah, if there was no Dory this year, no Pixar, then Secret Life of Pets would have been the clear winner.
Absolutely, absolutely. Summer. Yeah. Suicide Squad number two, number three, Jason Bourne,
which did better overall than Star Trek, which is
yes,
amazing. To me.
Mm-hmm. Ghostbusters at number five with 126. One again that we didn't talk about that much, Legend of Tarzan.
Well, we did a show.
We did a show on that.
We did a show on that one. Yeah. We didn't talk about that much on the review show, on the preview show.
True. I think, you know, the thing about that one, it squeaks in at number 10 overall for the summer. Mm-hmm. And I think it's sort of justified. I mean, it's one of those movies that's just solid. You know, it's not one that
it is really, one that has you on the edge of your seat the whole time.
It didn't break new ground. It wasn't right. Like, oh my God. It wasn't full of like, oh my God, you have to see this moments, but it's a mm-hmm. solid, entertaining movie that I think deserves an audience, and it found it. And hopefully with it doing so well, being in the top 10 of the summer, I hope we get another one.
I hope it'll probably depend on how it sells on DVD and digital.
Yeah.
But it would not surprise me. Number seven, Bad Moms. Number eight, Sausage Party. Number nine, The Purge, Election Year. And number 10, Pete's Dragon.
Pete's Dragon is there?
Wow. That's 70.5.
Yeah, that's a low.
Yeah. Understand that the second half of the summer, after Suicide Squad, the number drops in half. We're talking 308 to 159. So it's a drastic drop. If you take a quarter three's Pete's Dragon at 70, that's number 10 versus, about 77 million for Alice in the second quarter. But the drop doesn't come until number four on the first half. So very front loaded summer is basically what we can get out of that.
Gotcha.
Which is not at all that uncommon.
No, it really isn't. You start to see them kind of waning into the August and September months.
Well, there you go. Okay, well, that is pretty much our summer movie wrap-up. And we have quite a few films coming up in late fall, early winter. So you guys will be back for both, won't you?
Believe so.
Yeah.
So it should be pretty cool to see what's going on. We want to hear from you guys at home, esopodcast@gmail.com. Let us know what you liked most about the summer movies, if there was one we missed, if there wasn't any. And, of course, as these summer movies come out, we'll probably have them up on the ESO Amazon store. So mm-hmm. please help support the station and check that out. We'd really appreciate it, as always. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be back with our fall TV preview.
Hey guys, are you looking for a new podcast to listen to? Something a little on the geeky side, but lots and lots of fun with some crazy dudes? Well, have I got something for you. It's called the Vitamin Geek Podcast. I'm the host, Corey Keelan, and I'm here with my friends, Eric Williams.
What's up?
Patrick Sykes.
Greetings, everyone.
And Michael Zippy Miller.
Hey there.
We're going to talk about all kinds of stuff. Horror movies, science fiction. We love Star Wars. Who doesn't love Star Wars? If you don't like Star Wars, get the hell off of here. Check us out, man. Vitamin Geek Podcast right here on the ESO Network.
It's all part of the plan.
All right, now it's our second part of this special episode, and we are talking all about the fall TV previews. We're going to be looking at what shows, mostly the genre types shows. There might be some other ones being thrown in here and there, but you know, there's sites that, you know, have full listings of comedies and dramas and everything, but we're going to talk mostly about, you know, what is everyone's looking forward to and such. And then also, of course, we'll give you a blow by blow of what's going to be on and, you know, what the networks are going to be going and also what's going to be streaming, what's going to be on cable. So we'll try to get a lot of it in because we do have a lot of returning shows, but we're going to start with our newbies and such. And speaking of that, we have two new guests with us. Alex has gone Way of the Dodo, and let's welcome joining with us Nathan Laws.
Hi, Mike. I hope I don't go the way of the dodo.
Well, we'll have to talk after the show, sir.
Okay.
Well, with what's going on with your podcast, we might have to have you go way of the dodo.
Oh, you hurt me, man. You hurt me.
I do my best.
I've hit the snag of, you know, got everything straightened out. I got a theme song. You know, I actually have a few episodes recorded. It's the website and web design that has been the thing that's been killing me. But I have an artist now who has made a logo for me that I'm happy with. And she's working on a banner for the website. I've gotten a template for the website. So everything seems to be coalescing. So hopefully very soon now, it should just be a matter of another few weeks at most. It will go live. So
I hear you flapping, but you said that back in August too. So it's okay.
I know. But this time I actually have, you know, a lot more progress. So I think we're right there in the zone and about to get done.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'll believe it when I see it.
Okay.
But it's great to have you here, my friend.
Thank you. And thanks for having me on.
No problem. And also returning after quite some time, let's welcome Tara back to the show.
Yeah. Yeah. Hi guys. I honestly, it has been a while, over a year probably. But I've been very busy. So,
well, we see you running around all these different cons and everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I've got, you know, I've got my own convention that I run, Ice and Fire Con. And, this year was our fourth year. And then starting a couple months ago, my friend and I started organizing or putting together the first year of another convention. We're doing a Steven Universe themed convention next October. So now I've got two conventions, and then plus I'm usually press at all these cons. So yeah, I'm pretty much running around like a chicken with my head cut off these days.
I could totally understand. It's funny as heck because I snap pictures of you and then afterwards it's like, oh wait, that was Tara.
Yeah, it doesn't help that I'm constantly, I mean, when I'm not wearing a wig and it's like a kind of plain costume, it's one thing. But yeah, I had a lot of people this year who, after, like, they said something to me after the fact when I posted pictures on Facebook. They're like, oh, I saw you in that Kylo, the Disney princess Kylo Ren. I had no idea it was you because nobody's ever seen me with black hair.
That's awesome. Yeah, because we usually run into you up when we're up in Greenville or at Dragon Con most of the times.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm actually, at the moment, I've moved at least temporarily, possibly permanently. I'm living in Florida now. So.
Oh, wow. That's a big jump for you.
Yeah, it was very recent. It was like literally 3 weeks before Dragon Con I moved. And then I went back and went to Dragon Con. And, you know, so I'm finally actually getting settled now that Dragon Con is over.
Yes, but you have to start planning for the next one already, so it's okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, welcome back. We're glad to have you back with us. And of course, Ashley is still here, right, Ashley?
I'm still here. Thanks for not ejecting me out the airlock and letting me come back to the second statement.
Well, all we said was just hold on to something when I open the airlock to get rid of Alex. It's okay.
I followed instructions.
Exactly. That's really awesome. And of course, Mr. Mike is here with us.
Absolutely.
All right. So we are looking at TV Guide's Fall Preview. That's what's going to be our resource. So you can find it online and follow along with us. This season is really interesting. It seems like there's a lot of lacking of original programming. It seems like they've gone back to the well with remakes and taking from movies and also, you know, a lot of concept with genre because they see how well a lot of the CW shows are doing and taking those, you know, something off of that and going with like time travel shows. And there's also, I think what there's three time travel shows this season.
Four.
Yes. Wow.
Wow.
That's unheard of. And that's not even including Doctor Who because Doctor Who's not coming back till the spring. So that's pretty amazing. So let's hop in. With this, the first, actually, this it's a new show. It's called 24 Legacy. And it's basically taking a guy named Eric Carter, who's the new Jack Bauer. And so basically it's reinventing itself right from the beginning again. Any thoughts on that?
It's just, I mean, it's a valuable franchise that they're continuing. So, and they've finally decided to go without Kiefer, because he's committed to another show, new show this season, and but he is producing this and he's taking part in it as a guest starring role. So, but it, I mean, I think you know, again, they had Fox has had a lot of success with 24, so it makes sense to continue.
Mm-hmm. Well, and like the last miniseries they did, this is also only going to be 12 episodes.
They did have more success with the 12 than they did the last season of 24. That was 24 episodes. So I think they're, you know, they know to hedge their bets, really.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else?
And I think a lot of shows overall are we're seeing a reduced amount of actual episodes per season. I know that for a while there, a lot of us were, especially fans of British television, were like, we wish that American TV and networks would take this model. Well, I think a lot of them are because there's a lot of shows that are sticking to a 10 or 13 season. Yeah.
And in a way that kind of sucks because it's like, you know, you do want to see more, be able to watch it longer. But I mean, then, I mean, I stopped watching Arrow because season three just felt like it felt like I was watching season three for 10 years. You know, and it was so many episodes. It was like 23 or 25 episodes. It was unnecessary. There was like so much filler.
Yeah, the problem is, you know, the typical American season of 22 episodes is that, you know, if it's well plotted out, like season two of Arrow, you need all 22 episodes and it works really well. But most of the time, there's a lot of filler in there that you don't need. And that's what's great that a lot of shows that they're looking at that British model now and doing the 10 or 13 episode seasons. Because a lot of times, the stories they want to tell, you can tell it in 10 or 13 episodes, and there's not a whole lot of waste. And so that's a whole lot better.
It's also just something that, you know, the Americans are, well, American networks are still getting used to. I mean, we're still trying to come off that model of, you know, episodic TV. I mean, let's, you know, as much as we love our genre shows, the most popular shows on TV are ones that don't have a continuing thread from show to episode to episode. They're, you know, the NCIS's, the I know Law and Order is still on SVU and all that. Those are still, like, by and large, the most popular shows on TV. So you're still going to see a lot of procedurals because of that. But, you know, by the same token, these richer experiences where they have continuing adventures. I think that's, you know, obviously they're still trying to figure out a way to handle that. And I think the best way to handle that they found is to make those seasons shorter.
No, agree with that.
Also, the rise of some of the alternate formats like streaming on Netflix and cable have allowed people some more freedom to get away from I think the 22 episode standard format. Like, I think Downton Abbey is only 8 episodes per season, which isn't a lot, but I think it really makes people focus in on their storytelling and really make those episodes count. So I personally would rather see fewer episodes per season, have them be high quality. So I think it's kind of nice to see people changing, and that it's okay to mix it up. We don't have to tell the story in this 22 episode standard film anymore.
No, agree completely with that.
Yeah, yeah. The quality portion, definitely.
So is anyone going to be watching 24 Legacy?
I'll give it a watch. I mean, I've watched all the other 24s, and I do enjoy – I'm addicted to the cliffhanger format. I've always been I've always loved it back from when I watched the Batman 66 series to watching soap operas. I just love that format, and 24 does it better than or has in the past, does it better than almost anyone else. I mean, you're constantly on the edge of your seat, you know, from scene to scene, from commercial break to episode to episode. So, and it looks like the same people are involved. I think this could breathe new life into it, and, you know, I'll give it a shot. That's for sure.
Well, fair enough. What about the rest of you?
The real-time format always seemed very gimmicky to me, so I never got into 24 in the first place, so I'm not really interested in the continuation either.
Okay.
Yeah, I've watched some 24, but I never really got into it. And I mean, honestly, I know as much as they're touting it as a new thing, like I'm kind of lumping it in with all the other shows on this list that are reboots or like continuations from movies or whatever.
Nope, agree with that.
Oh, sure. I don't know. Maybe Fox is trying to promote it as new, but I mean, obviously it's called Legacy. So it's not, they're not reinventing the wheel here. They're just basically saying, if you like 24, there's more of that.
Gotcha. All right. The next series we have is that we're going to talk about is it's a spinoff of The Blacklist. It's called Blacklist Redemption. I know we have a few people who listen to the show who are huge fans of The Blacklist with James Spader.
I tried to hold on to that show because I absolutely love James Spader. But unfortunately, in my mind, he was the only thing in that show worth anything. And about the 80th episode, I'm exaggerating, of course, but the 80th episode where one of the characters told, like Liz said, I'm done. We're done. I said, you know what? Me too. And I stopped. And I can't believe that it's generating a spinoff because I find it hard to believe that it's still doing that well. But I guess for those people who like it, good for them.
Fair enough. Anyone else?
I've never watched it, so.
No, I haven't either. I've heard great things about, like, the first season.
I will say that the main actors in the spinoff, Ryan Eggle, who plays Tom Keene, he was a pretty solid part of what I was watching beforehand. And Famke Jensen's in it, and she always gives an enjoyable performance. So I think, you know, that's a good thing. I won't be tuning into this.
Okay. No, that's fair. All right. So let's hop on to the next one. And we have, let's see, what do we got? This one called Designated Survivor. That's the Kiefer Sutherland show.
Mm.
And basically it's the story about how the U.S. government keeps one senator out of the basically when the president and Congress do their yearly State of the Union, they keep one senator away from the Capitol just in case something happens. And basically something happens.
Dope.
And basically Congress and the president are killed in an explosion at the Capitol. And so Kiefer Sutherland, who is, you know, just a senator and automatically becomes president. It's a neat concept. I'll give it that much.
Yeah,
I heard somebody panning this as we already saw this story in Battlestar Galactica, but I think that's kind of unfair, especially because
it's true. But
you know, I mean, yeah, it's true. But at the same time, that was a sci-fi show, whereas this is more grounded in the real world. So I think it will spin in directions that, you know, the Galactica storyline didn't. But it's certainly an intriguing concept because this is a guy who's completely unprepared for the roles and responsibilities that he's, you know, just being thrust upon him there. It looks kind of interesting to see how he would handle, this kind of unprecedented situation.
I think it sounds like a cool what if scenario, but I don't know. It'll be interesting to see if they can generate enough of a story to last the past a few episodes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. Do we know? Do we know how many episodes they've filmed? Because to me, this feels like it. Like you said, it would be lucky if it lasted an entire season.
This sounds like a good movie plot.
Yeah.
With Harrison Ford as the senator, of course.
I'd watch that.
So, yeah, I could see that. But, yeah, I hope it makes it the full season. But I don't know how much storyline they can have out of that.
One show that you sort of glossed over because I noticed we're going by the list. But I did want to mention really quick ABC's Conviction, if for no other reason, because Halle Atwell's in it. And for those people who really love Agent Carter, this is a chance to see her on weekly television, albeit doing something completely different. However, it'll be interesting to see if the Marvel fans of Agent Carter embrace this show because they like Haley, or if they're reject it because they're like, this is the reason why she's not doing Agent Carter. So, it'll be interesting to see if that makes any difference on this show whatsoever.
Well, looking at Agent Carter's numbers, it's not going to make much of a difference. So, yeah, I hate to say it because I love Atwell and I loved her as Agent Carter, but the show did not get good ratings, which is why it was canceled. But you know what? Even though this is the kind of show that I wouldn't normally watch, just based on the fact that Haley Atwell's in it, I will probably give it a few episodes just because, she's impressed me enough with her role. So,
and, yeah, and if I'm nothing else, boat. Yeah, if nothing else, Agent Carter proved that she can, hold her own as a lead on the series.
Mm-hmm. Very much so. All right, let's hop on and look at Emerald City, which is basically what it sounds like, Oz.
Emerald City is NBC's NBC is just throwing shit against the wall this season.
and this surprises you how?
Because they're desperate. I mean, NBC is the out of the three major networks, NBC is the one that was like, we don't know what we're doing. So they are just grasping at straws. Now, some of these straws may be valid. Emerald City, could be the next Once Upon a Time. It could fail. I think, it's got Vincent D'Onofrio in it as the wizard. And we all know that Vincent's capable of some amazing work. Mm-hmm. So if they give him something worth, doing, that would be awesome. One of the producers is Sean Cassidy, who, I know from a lot of people in the 70s are thinking pop star, but he's actually a really decent producer of genre material in his own right. So I think this one could be worth checking out, but I haven't seen any footage of it, I don't know anything else about it.
Well, it's a mid-season replacement still.
Well, Wizard of Oz, I'm interested in it if only for the fact that darker retellings or tellings of Wizard of Oz stories have always, I've always enjoyed them. So if it can go the way of, Wicked and whatnot, not the musical, but the book, then I think it could have, potential.
My only issue is that I've been kind of inundated with Wizard of Oz material over the last few years. It seems like everyone has realized that it's fair use and has decided to make their own spin on Wizard of Oz. I mean, Once Upon a Time's had a Wizard of Oz arc, and there was that animated movie, then there was that awful prequel movie that came out a few years ago with James Franco, and it was just like, oh god, I'm sick of Wizard of Oz already. But what I will say with that caveat, dark and edgy Wizard of Oz, that could have some appeal, especially if it's something like, Dorothy isn't, some versions of Wizard of Oz have had it where Dorothy really is literally insane or something like that would be kind of, interesting. But I'm kind of sick of Wizard of Oz right now, so I'm not sure. It'll really depend on what it looks like, when we start seeing previews and such.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, this is one where I'll kind of be waiting for to kind of see what the buzz on this one as well. I actually live in the great state of Kansas, so we already hear a lot about the Wizard of Oz here anyway. So I had a dollar for every time somebody said, hey, Toto, we're not in Kansas anymore. I'd be rich now. But kind of kind of like what you guys said. I like the dark and edgy is really what draws my attention, because we've seen Once Upon a Time do this, but nobody's taken it to like a really dark kind of edgy place. So I'm curious to see what they do with it. I think if they kind of deviate from the source material and give us something kind of really intriguing and mysterious, it could be interesting.
Nope. Of course, NBC has had the problem where if it's too dark for network TV, then they just reject it. So it doesn't last very long. So it's not the best place for it to be. If this was going to be on HBO or FX or something like that, I'd be like, okay, this is going to be interesting. But it might be interesting, but then it might be, you know, cut off because it doesn't get the ratings that NBC wants. Yeah.
Absolutely. This might be better on cable. This reading through the description is what it sounds like.
Yeah.
Nope. Agree with that. All right. What about The Exorcist? Do you think it could hold up into a series? Wow, Tara. Wow.
I feel like it's just the only way they could really make it a series is if it's basically a procedural, you know what I mean? Like each week it's the same, you know, same exorcists, and each week they go to a different place and exorcise another demon. But like, how long can that really last?
Yeah. I love the original classic movie, and some of the sequels and stuff they've done have been interesting since then, but never once did I say I'd like to see this every week. And it's on Fox, so it's not going to last long.
Okay. Then we have Frequency, which is basically a remake of the 2000 movie that starred Dennis Quaid and Jim Caviezel. From Person of Interest.
Yeah, but he's not in this, so no. Don't get that confused.
Yeah, no. No, the movie had those two in it.
Yeah. I've never seen Frequency, so I have no idea if the premise is, you know, worthy of a series. So this is one of the, like, few shows on the CW that's not superhero related.
Right. My take on this, because I saw Frequency had a really interesting concept that I feel like it handled incredibly poorly. The idea is that basically through a radio, you can talk to somebody in the past. Mm-hmm. And it's an interesting concept. I could see it as like a mini series, or maybe they could even stretch it out to a season. But like we've talked about with these other shows, unless the next season is like a completely different person talking to somebody else, I don't see how they can stretch out the storyline of trying to fix some problem in the past by being able to talk to your father, who's dead now, but it, you know, is alive then. You know, how do you stretch that out into many seasons? It's just, I this one's problematic.
Yeah. Even well, the I fact that travel. Look, I see in the description that one of the characters is a detective. So I'm like, well, they're just going to make this a procedural. So
right.
Mm-hmm. That's like the word of the night, procedural.
There was a detective, Andre Bauer was in it, and he was in the film as Dennis Quaid's, you know, friend. And also he knew the adult who was talking to his dad. He was still around. So he was like the go-between.
And I certainly don't mean to make light of – I mean, they dip in the procedural well too often. And I think that's one thing that the networks just – they understand that sells, and that so when that's their default mode. It's like make it a procedural. And in some cases, it really works. I'm very surprised that it works with iZombie, because – the original source material was nothing like a procedural, and yet they've made it a procedural, but it's absolutely delightful. And this could be too, much like a show like Life on Mars was a procedural that kind of dealt with a little bit of time travel. This has, you know, maybe that potential, but I don't, you know, obviously the proof will be in the Frequency.
Nope. Agree with that. It'll be interesting to see how it comes about. I don't know if they can carry it over unless, like, I think Nathan said, if they have a different character, maybe even every half season or something.
Mm-hmm.
Would be kind of interesting. But just, you know,
yeah, because there's so many ways you could spin that concept. What if you could talk to somebody 50 years ago and it affects modern times. There are a lot of cool things you could do with that. But if it's always the same two people talking,
right?
You know, once they solve, either you have to stretch out the case that they're trying to solve like for forever, or they solve it and then it's like, well, what next? It only so many times can you be like, well, that caused a new problem further down the road before it becomes, you know, tedious.
Well, since this is on a CW, is this going to be affected by Flashpoint?
That's all in the same universe now, Mike.
Everything is the 100 and the. They'll actually have the Tomorrow People back. Yeah, that's it.
Oh, no. Oh, that pains me.
Do we want to talk about The Good Place? Which is
I love Kristen Bell, and I've missed seeing her on TV every week. So I think she's hilarious. Certainly the TV ads that she does with her husband are some of the best commercials that I think are around. So I might give this a shot just because I think she's really funny. But I'm not expecting a lot.
Yeah, I'm
still
kind
amazed to see Ted Danson, who's been on TV my entire life. stuff, so I'll always know him from Cheers, but you know, he's just constantly on things.
Yeah, I mean, it is funny because for a whole generation, they don't remember that he was ever funny.
Right.
But when we grew up, I mean, he was, you know, Sam on Cheers, and he was hilarious. And I don't know if that's the vibe they're going for here, but you know, we'll see.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. All right. Then we have coming down, Imaginary Mary. I didn't even know Jenna Elfman was still around.
That's exactly what I was saying. Like, and you look at the if you look up, I mean, obviously, I'm looking at a picture of it now. If you Google Imaginary Mary, whatever this little imaginary friend is of hers is weird and creepy looking. And why? I just why?
I think someone couldn't license Ted for a Ted experience, and they decided to, you know, just do a slightly different take.
I actually saw the picture of it first, and I thought it was an adipose from Doctor Who with spots on it. It was just like, what?
Yeah, that doesn't look marketable at all. I can't believe that guy. I mean, this is ABC we're talking about. Disney owns them. They could have put people on this to make it look better than that.
Yeah.
I think this one's going to be a fast flop, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Then Jenna will go back under her rock.
Oh. Okay, Lethal Weapon. I can't believe they're making a TV show out of that.
I don't see that's what amazes me, that you are still surprised by things like this. I mean, last year we had CBS came out with a Rush Hour, right? TV series.
Did that ever come on the TV?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even think they could make that on.
You know, they have a history of doing this stuff. I'm surprised it's taken them this long to do it. I saw an ad and I thought it was Greg Evigan in the Mel Gibson role. I was like, wow, Greg Evigan looks really good for his age. And then it said Clayne Crawford. And I'm like, oh, that's not Greg Evigan. So I that's all I got out of it.
Yeah. More power to you. I tried introducing William to the Lethal Weapon series. He liked 3/4 of the first one. And then he started losing interest in it. So I'm worried about this.
I mean, also it's, it's on Fox. Like, so how much of the real Lethal Weapon can they put in a TV show on Fox? I'd have a little more faith in it if it was on like Showtime or Stars or HBO.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. 'Cause they have more chance to go a little more edgy.
Yeah.
No, yes. I agree with that.
So instead, Damon's just going to say, I'm getting too old for this crap.
I say that every day on this episode. All right. MacGyver.
Why? Let's not even mention the fact that the kid looks like he's like Jesse Eisenberg's little brother. You know, so I keep on imagining MacGyver is going to try throwing Jolly Ranchers in people's mouths every episode. But... I when CBS already has shows like Scorpion, which are basically MacGyver anyway, why do we need another show like that? It's I just don't get it.
I think out of the fact that it's on CBS means that it won't get canceled right away. Mm-hmm. CBS is in the driver's seat. They can let a show go on until and find an audience if need be, or even tweak it until it does. But and who knows? I mean, I don't know anything about it. I didn't watch MacGyver when it was on before, so I'm aware of the concept, obviously. But so whether or not this is going to be a good, you know, I think I'm surprised. You know, I see that Henry Winkler, who was one of the producers of the original, is a producer of this one. I don't know the other names to know if they were involved in it, but I'm kind of surprised that the lead actor who played MacGyver before is not involved at all, because I definitely think that if that would be some sort of plus for MacGyver fans.
No, agreed. It was not something that I would think would be made into a remake and everything. Cause you know, they tried doing that with MacGruber on Saturday Night Live, if you remember.
Well, no, that was a satire.
Okay. And dudes, this is going to be a satire of the old show, old style, basically.
Yeah. Have you seen that mullet?
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah, it's Richard Dean Anderson's mullet on acid. It's, it's everywhere.
All right, this show, Making History. It's a sitcom, but they are going to be three friends who travel through time while trying to get through their everyday lives in the present.
Excellent! Oh, wait.
I don't know anybody involved with this, so I have no idea. I haven't seen anything. I mean, the premise is one of those ones that could be interesting, but I would have to wait and see something.
I know who Leighton Meester and Seth Cohen are. Aren't they both from the OC? I know Seth Cohen was on the OC. Hmm. And this is coming from somebody who never watched that show, but I'm fairly certain both of – hold on. I'm looking up Leighton Meester. It drives me crazy. Yeah, she was on the OC and Gossip Girl. And I think I'm wrong about – no, and Seth Cohen was the character on the OC played by Adam Brody. Sorry, I don't actually know who Seth Cohen the actor is, but I do know the character, and that's why I thought they were both on the OC.
I was going to say that Phil Lord and Chris Miller are the guys who did the Lego movie. I thought their name sounded familiar, so that's kind of interesting. They're doing this, apparently.
Everything is awesome. Kind
of, yeah, that kind of balances out the whole OC connection for me.
I love time travel, so without knowing anything more about this show, I'm just going to watch it, at least in the beginning, to just get a feel for it. I mean, it sounds like it has potential, so I'll just have to see how it goes.
Yeah.
Okay, so then we have going down, we have this show, it's called Midnight Texas. And it's by the same author who did True Blood. It was a Charlene Harris series. And it's a drama set in a Texas town, which is populated with vampires, witches, werewolves, psychics, and hitmen who band together against outsiders.
So it sounds like NBC is, you know, got their replacement for Grimm already.
Yeah.
Because it sounds like it's going to fit like that sort of spot.
Yeah.
I mean,
and maybe do more. I don't know. But
it sounds like just they're trying to carry on True Blood in a lot of ways.
Yeah, that's kind of what I. Yeah.
So. And everyone else goes quiet about that.
Well, again, it's one of those things. It's like, yeah, NBC, this is okay. But if you – these dark shows, if you don't let them be dark, then they're going to be watered down. And the people who love that stuff are not going to watch it. And then, you know, if they're too dark, then they're not going to get a great audience that you want. So you're going to cancel it. So I don't think these are the right moves for NBC. But they're interesting premises. Mm-hmm.
Well, they didn't let, you know, the darkness of Constantine be really all that dark, because
that was a perfect example.
Exactly. Speaking of the DC Universe, we have Powerless. which I think is going to be a disaster in the making.
Yeah, that's all the scuttlebutt that we hear. It's all negative. I mean, the one of the showrunners left under a dark cloud.
They haven't even started filming yet.
Wait. You mean there's negative pre-press about a DC property?
How about that?
I am shocked, I tell you.
I'm surprised after that Wonder Woman pilot that DC even went back to NBC to do anything because, I mean, I know they did Constantine in between those, but it's just like, geez, guys, how many times are you going to keep on going to NBC to have them mismanage something? But, you know, whatever.
I mean, it's like the casting, it's got Vanessa Hudgens who she was in some Disney movie or something, right? I honestly don't know much about her. But then Alan Tudyk and then Danny Pudi from Community, like, it's just a very odd group of people that they've put in this show.
I love the concept because even though I'm not a big DC guy, I was a huge fan of Damage Control in Marvel, which this sounds like DC's answer to Damage Control,
isn't that one also being developed as a show too?
Yes.
It hasn't even gotten to the pilot stage like this has, So the potential is there for this to be a really funny show about ordinary people living in a world where there's superheroes, but I'm worried because of all the press it's getting so far. None of it's been good.
Yep, exactly. So we'll have to wait and see if that one even makes it more than 5 episodes.
Yeah.
Okay, we have the return of Prison Break.
I think this is... I stopped watching the original Prison Break after mm-hmm. they broke out of their fourth, fifth prison. I'm not sure. I lost count. But there's no denying that Miller and Purcell have chemistry. And if you don't want to watch Legends, which for a lot of reasons people don't, you can now watch this. And this is not going to be a full season. This is my understanding is this is just a 12 episodes run. So it's just an adventure with the two of them. So I think that sounds interesting to me. I'll probably give this a watch because I do like watching them work together. And I do feel like, okay, so TV Guide wrote this description and apparently TV Guide is even confused as to what the difference between a reboot and a continuation is because the premise, they say, of this is a reboot of the original show. The event series picks up after the apparent death in the 2009 finale. I'm like, then it's not a reboot.
Right.
No. It's a continuation. Hello.
So I think for that, for Wentworth and Dominic together, it'll work.
Yeah, I have to say, I never watched the original show, but having seen them on The Flash and Legends of Tomorrow, I absolutely love them together. So it's actually made me think, well, maybe I should go back and watch Prison Break. So it has that going for it.
The first season I thought was really good. I thought the first season Prison Break was really good.
I agree.
That's what I've heard from a lot of people.
Yeah, the first season was amazing. The second season, like, it started out okay and then just went downhill. And I stopped watching when they were in the prison in Central America. That's when I stopped watching. I don't even remember if that was season 2 or 3. So,
and it was interesting because I went back and watched Prison Break after they introduced the characters on The Flash with mm-hmm. Heatwave and Captain Cold, and the chemistry between the two of them was like that's what drew me to watch Prison Break. And I binge watched the first season of it and I enjoyed it. After that, it was just like, oh, they found another prison to put into. Wow. Okay. Cool.
It's another one of those concepts
break,
we talked about.
Yeah.
It's another one of those concepts that we talked about that it works for a season, but not if you keep stretching it out beyond that.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. Then we also have Riverdale, which is basically Archie. We've talked about that quite a bit, actually, when we did our Archie episode not that long ago.
Yeah, the producers are Greg Berlanti, who we should all know and trust from a lot of his work with superhero and comic book properties right now, and also Roberto Aguirre I think it's Sakasa is the last name. Anyway, he's writing Sabrina for Archie right now, which is an incredible book, a comic. So I this is Riverdale with an edge to it, though. It's not the Archies, the high school hijinks, the Saved by the Bell, the 90210 kind of. It's not, they're not reclaiming their throne. They're this is more in the dark category. I don't know how that's going to go over, but I will watch this because of that.
Yep. A lot of people are calling it Riverdale 9210, whatever.
Which it, I mean, if you've seen any of the previews or some of the write-ups, it seems like it's more like, you know, Twin Peaks ish. It's very weird.
My fear with this is that my fear with this is that I already feel like that Berlanti is stretched way too thin with four shows, because I feel like the quality was really lacking on a few of them last season, and now he's taking on a fifth show. I'm kind of worried that the creative force there is going to be really diluted, and it's going to affect all the series that he's working on. I personally have no interest in Archie. There was a cartoon in the 80s that I think I watched. I never read an Archie comic, so from that standpoint, I'm not really interested. I'm more worried about the effect it'll have on the other things that Berlanti's working on.
This will actually be Berlanti's seventh current show. He's actually outside of the cartoon, outside of the comic book shows that he does. He actually has two others that he does as well. But he's not as hands-on on all of them, obviously. So whether or not, you know, I don't know how much hands-on he is on this or not, but yeah, so it is whether or not he's stretched too thin. I don't know. I think it all depends on whether or not he's got good people to delegate to.
Mm. Agree with that. It's going to be interesting to see what they do with it. I'll watch the first couple. One I've been seeing a lot of because I watched football this last Sunday is this damn Son of Zorn. It is a hybrid animated live action series, which is basically He-Man meets the real world.
Kind of.
Yeah.
I think when I first heard the premise, I thought it was really funny. Then I saw the preview and I thought it wasn't as funny. So I didn't watch it. I know it premiered this past weekend, but I didn't even watch it. Have any of you seen it?
I haven't. I mean, I watched a bunch of football too, but we talked about this before we started recording. I was the one that was stuck watching all the Kevin Can Wait previews. I don't know what game. I don't know if it depends on what games you were watching or what, but we were watching Packers, Dolphins, and then Patriots. So,
yeah, so you were on CBS.
Yeah. I got stuck with a lot of Kevin Can Wait.
I see here that it says it's premiering this coming weekend, but I thought I saw some people on my feed saying that they saw it last weekend. So I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I think it's already available either online or on demand or something like that. So so you can watch it before it actually technically premieres.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I'm not even going to bother with that one. Yeah. Shocker, huh? Okay. So then we have Taken, which is basically a prequel to the wonderful movie that starred Liam Neeson. So every episode he's going to say, "I don't know who you are, but I will find you."
Why?
You know what? What's really funny? There are, I think, at least four more series that we haven't even got to that are also based on movies, too. So, this is a very common theme, unfortunately. How they pick these movies, I don't know. But
I feel like at this point, looking at the ones that we've, even just looking at the ones we've talked about, I swear they just wrote a bunch of movies down on slips of paper and tossed them into a fishbowl and then pulled out 10. The frequency, yeah, this will totally make a 10-season TV show.
Mm-hmm. It's like, frequency, maybe, but what about, we got to do a prequel. Liam Neeson is so awesome, so we have to find some schlub to pay him when he was a kid.
Yes. Worst father ever.
I just think it's odd that the third movie you know, didn't really do that well because people were kind of like, really? How many more people can, you know, he get kidnapped on this watch? But now we're going prior to the first movie and it's like, okay, so this is something that's happened to him in his whole life, is that people just keep getting taken and he has to, you know, I don't know. I just, yeah, it does get kind of silly. I think maybe they probably would have been better served, and I know that the branding isn't there, but they might have been better served if they had used the same character but called it something else.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So what, are they going to kidnap his dog?
Yes. It starts when he's, you know, he's 9 years old and someone steals his dog.
Exactly. Or he's at a restaurant, someone steals his table. I don't know who you are, but you took...
I was thinking someone steals his favorite toy when he's a kid.
Okay, we're getting goofy now. This is awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Time after time.
I was going to say, we're still not at the end of the list, and there's still several more shows on here that are based on movies. So
at least two. Yes, right. Sorry. Yeah, Time After Time, you just mentioned, is one of them. And I look, I love H.G. Wells. So I will probably give this a watch just because I'm, you know, look, if I was okay with H.G. Wells being portrayed as a woman in something, I definitely would be kind of curious to see how this one plays out.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. This is going to be interesting because I did love the movie, and that was Malcolm McDowell, and wow.
Yeah, and this is also a Jack the Ripper thing, which I've always liked those things too, so... So this, I love the movie. I love the concept. It's on ABC, so usually that means it's a little bit better quality than some of the other networks. So I will probably give this a shot.
I'm, like I said before, I'm disposed to like in time travel. So I'm probably going to give this a watch. I've actually never seen the original movie.
Oh, you should probably do that before you see this.
Yeah.
Although it may taint your view. I don't.
When was it made? Does anyone know?
The original was in the mid 80s.
Okay.
Because I think Nicholas Meyer did it after Wrath of Khan.
Oh yeah, wow! So it's Nicholas Meyer directed it.
Yes.
Oh, it is such an awesome movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, Time After Time, basically, let's see, Time After Time, come on, internet.
You sound like a Cyndi Lauper song.
Yeah, I know. Time After, 1979.
Really?
Yes.
So it was prior. That
explains why I didn't see it.
Yeah. I wasn't born yet. Yeah, because it was, you have to definitely take that movie. It's awesome. It is really, and Malcolm McDowell, Mary Steenburgen, and David Warner.
Oh, David Warner. He's one of my favorite actors. Yes.
Yeah, and he is awesome as Jack the Ripper.
Oh, yeah, that would be a good one.
Spoilers.
Oops. All right. Timeless. This one actually has my curiosity up because they've been playing ads for it for quite some time now.
Looks like it's got the biggest budget.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the premise is basically a trio is tasked with traveling through time to catch a criminal who stole a time machine that could catastrophically alter history. And basically, you know, it's the same premise as Time After Time, basically.
Well, except this person's going backwards in time.
Exactly.
But yeah, I mean, this is like, you know, this is a premise I've seen before. A lot of books go through, you know, this idea. And of course, it's been on various TV shows and whatnot. But this is absolutely the stuff that I love. I mean, I'm a huge Doctor Who fan. I mean, you know, so, you know, the whole idea of, you know, somebody going through time and every episode you're in a different time and place and, you know, having to correct things. I mean, Quantum Leap, Voyagers, all those shows that were like that are shows that I absolutely love. So I'm definitely going to give this a try.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. I am as well. I think out of all the new shows, this one has my interest most, at least out of the ones on network TV. I think it's a really interesting concept, and like Richard McCourt, looks like they're putting a big budget into this. And I like the concept of going back to significant moments in history, like in a preview I saw, they're going to touch on like the assassination of Abraham Lincoln, kind of Rat Pack era Las Vegas, and then Germany in World War II. So I think this one will be really interesting. It will be kind of
I'm curious to see if I can kind of handle the like jumping from location to every episode, and if it doesn't feel too jarring, and kind of if they can keep up with the budget. It sounds like an expensive show, but it could be interesting. I'm interested to see this one.
No, agreed. You got a bark of approval back there too.
Yeah, sorry.
That's all right.
Well, the dog was putting its 2 cents in.
Endorsement.
Exactly. Then we have Training Day, which is a remake, another movie remake.
Well, I don't know. I mean, TV Guide, again, confuses me because it says it's based on a 2001 movie. The reboot picks up 15 years later, and I'm like, it's not a reboot. Because it does look like it involves different characters.
Yeah, I don't quite think TV Guide knows what they're talking about.
They're supposed to be the experts at this sort of thing, but yes, they are definitely someone fell asleep here. Mm-hmm. Bill, the coolest thing about this is that it's Bill Paxton, who is enjoyable to watch on a bad, even, you know, even the worst thing that he's in, like he's still really good in it. So I don't know if I will really watch this. It's, but I'm intrigued by it, and if I wouldn't be surprised if I hear good things about it, especially about him.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, it should be interesting to see. Then let's go to cable real quick. We have Dirk Gently on Stars.
You know, I wasn't aware that there was a previous Dirk Gently TV show. I've only found out about it since the commercials for this new one have been airing, and I've done a little research. But, you know, as one of the, you know, everyone knows Douglas Adams from The Hitchhiker's Guide, and I'm really happy to see Dirk Gently get some love because those books are hilarious, you know, in that style that only Douglas Adams can do. And that's my one fear is that, you know, Douglas Adams' style is so hard to emulate. You know, I thought that the 2000 Hitchhiker's Guide movie was horrible. And I'm just kind of worried from what I'm seeing in the previews with Dirk being so manic and energetic. And it's, yeah, he was random and strange. And the whole idea of the holistic, you know, detective agency was, you know, this off the wall, you know, concept. But, you know, I'm not sure that this character is really capturing the essence of Dirk Gently. So I'm just going to watch it and I'm going to see. But it definitely has my interest just because I'm really glad to see that series, you know, getting some attention.
I would love to see it succeed. But when I see the character that I saw, I was like, if I wanted to see somebody like that, I would watch Monk, truthfully. You know, Tony Shalhoub just did it better.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it seemed like he was just almost as compulsive.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting who they have as his sidekick for this one. In the new Dirk Gently, you have, of course, isn't Elijah Woods?
Oh, right. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, that's right. Yeah.
So, and it's interesting. It's like, I am not your Watson.
Right.
So. So, and that's, you know, I'll watch a couple of them. It's a reason, if you have Stars, it's definitely worth checking out. So it should be kind of interesting to see. Is there any other new cable shows that you guys are looking forward to? Because I know on Netflix, we have Luke Cage coming from Marvel.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they have done so well with all of those Marvel Netflix shows that even if I hadn't already seen Luke Cage on Jessica Jones, I'd already be excited for this. But, you know, I'm excited, you know, just based on the previews that we've seen as well. You know, when I first heard that Luke Cage was going to be one of the 4 shows that Marvel and Netflix were partnering to do, I was a little worried because I was, you know, seeing yellow shirts and steel tiaras in my head. And I think they've done a really good job of bringing a character who, at least when I was reading comics, was pretty much a has-been, you know, character that not much was being done with. You know, this is in the 90s when I primarily read comics, and they've really modernized him in, you know, a pretty good way. But it looks like they're keeping him very true to his roots as, you know, a man of the people, you know, the hero for hire. I mean, I don't know if they're going to go the whole hero for hire route, but he's, you know, a man that, that helps out the neighborhood. And, you know, I'm really looking forward to seeing that.
It should be interesting if any good as Jessica Jones and Daredevil.
Yeah.
Bring it on.
Yeah.
I can't look at David. I still can't look at David Tennant the same way. It's doctor. Say it isn't so. So it's interesting. Is there anything else you guys are looking forward to?
Something I've been hearing a lot of buzz about is the show Westworld on HBO.
Yes.
I've been getting a lot of
attention, and it looks pretty interesting to me. I don't know if what others' thoughts are on that.
Absolutely. It's definitely by two of the producers of Person of Interest. And it's got Anthony Hopkins in it. Anthony Hopkins on a TV show.
Well, it is HBO.
True, but yeah. So I'm really interested. It's one of those movies that they're bringing to life as a TV series. But because of the people involved and the fact that it's on HBO, I think I'm willing to give this a little bit more leeway, and it's got me intrigued.
Yeah, I first saw it like a couple nights ago. I think it was the first time I'd ever heard of it, and I was like, what is this? But then, you know, when I think I read about it somewhere briefly, and I was like, this sounds really weird. But then I went and searched out the trailer and was like, okay, maybe this is worth a watch. I mean, I've got HBO Go anyway.
No, that's a good way to put it, actually. All right, let's go. We've been talking about new shows. How about any returning shows? What are you guys excited about?
Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, actually. If you guys, I don't know if any of you watch it, but I just binge watched the first season on Netflix this summer. And it's actually, it won, the lead actress won an Emmy for best actress in a comedy or musical or whatever. Not an Emmy, a Golden Globe. That's what it was. But it's a hilarious and like really different TV show. And that comes back, October 21st, I think. I mean, it's a TV show and it's a musical and it's on the CW, but it's not like one of your classic CW shows. I think that you're used to. It's just very, it's definitely its own thing and it's worth a watch. And that and Walking Dead come back within a few days of each other, and those are probably my big two.
Biggest, right. I think the biggest cliffhanger of any show that's out there right now is Walking Dead.
Oh yeah,
we are all waiting to see who's gonna end up meeting Lucille.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, there's some great things going to be happening this season because it's all leading up to the war.
Yeah, so. I mean they've got they released that other trailer as well. That's basically like, I'm Negan, I'm everywhere, and so we're gonna be seeing a lot of him this season.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be interesting to see. I'm looking forward to Walking Dead. This is because last season I was just like, okay, Walking Dead's back, great, but this season it's just like, okay, October cannot get here soon enough.
I really just, yeah, I just need to see who they take out, honestly, because as a comic book reader, it's like I know how it happens one way, and I don't even know if interested to see is the right way to put it. I'm a little bit worried.
Yeah, it's probably going to hurt.
Oh, whoever it is, it probably will.
It's going to hurt regardless because of just depending on how gory it is.
Oh, right. To, yeah,
you
yeah.
know, like.
Yeah, because that's the other thing. It's not just the loss of a character that we followed since day one, but it's the manner at which they're going to be disposed of. It's going to be brutal.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I agree with that. It'll be interesting to see. Of course, I'm looking forward to the CW shows, Flash, Arrow, and of course, Supergirl.
Legends of Tomorrow.
Legends is Legends going to be a full season this year?
Yeah, this year it's a full season.
Okay.
I was just going to say, if you had to put a gun to my head and said you only get one show, it's Flash.
Flash all
that
the way.
That's the one I'm waiting for. Of course, another big cliffhanger, because and everything that we've heard, I mean, it's going to be a hell of a ride this season, and I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like they mishandled the last season, but definitely the way that they left everything, the Flash has the potential to be, I think, very easily the best series out of the four of those this year. I feel like Supergirl was the best show of last year between the four, and I'm really looking forward to seeing that return. I really don't like that they're merging it in with the other universe. I feel like it could still be on the CW, and they could still have it in a separate universe, but I know that nobody agrees with me on that. So
I've been saying that since day one. So I don't want them in the same universe, but yeah, we are the minority, I'm afraid.
I feel like it's going to create too many continuity issues as well, but I don't know. We'll see. But
they can fix that, though. They just go Flashpoint, and you go, okay.
Well, yeah, but see, I don't like those kinds of answers. But anyway. Arrow, I feel like they've realized the mistakes they've made with the last two seasons from everything that I'm hearing, and I at least have some hope going into Arrow this year that it's going to go back more to its roots and basically just let him be the Batman of the Berlantiverse. Don't try to throw in magic and everything else. It's fine. Just let him be, the awesomest, human crime fighter in that universe. And I hope that they go that route with it.
Yeah. And, how was season four? Like, because
it was better than season three, but not much.
I watched the first episode. And then I know whose grave they were standing at, because somebody, one of my friends is going nuts about it on Twitter or something. And I was like, I don't care about being spoiled. Just tell me. So, I'm kind of like, I don't know. I really did not enjoy season three.
I think also the thing about Arrow too, is that really from what I've gathered from the show, the seasons, is that it's really dependent on how good the bad guy is. And Neil McDonough was much better. Damian Dark was much better last season than the Ra's al Ghul. So I think that in of itself was an improvement. So I don't think I've heard who the big bad is going to be this year. So that's, I think, going to depend. If they find a worthy adversary for Oliver and company, then I think we'll be all right. But if it's kind of lame, then we're going to have to be, we're going to have to suffer through it.
Dude, you're going to have the Justice Society on Legends of Tomorrow. Come on.
Yeah, well, that's the show that needs help the most, because that show bordered on painful at points last season. And part of it is because their Savage was so awful.
Yes.
He was such a non-threat villain that I just never felt like he was great in the Flash Arrow crossover that set up Legends of Tomorrow, and then he was awful throughout the actual show. So I'm just hoping that now that they've gotten rid of the Time Masters and taken that millstone off their necks of you can't change history because history like forces itself back into this particular shape, I'm hoping that the show will be more free to do more interesting storylines around, the concept of being able to change time and to fix things and stuff like that. So, and I hope that they get a worthy villain this time. So the characters are great. I'm really sad they're losing Cold as a regular. It sounds like he's going back to being a villain, because they've talked about how he's going to be one part of their Legion of Doom that they're setting up. But at the same time, I kind of like the fact that he's going back to being a villain, because he should be the leader of the Rogues. So I'm of mixed feelings, because I want him to be on the team, but I kind of want him to be a villain too. So we'll see. He'll do something interesting with it either way, because he's a great actor. So,
mm-hmm.
But yeah, I feel like they're setting things up to be much better this season. So I'm hopeful.
Mm-hmm. Any other shows that you're coming back that anyone's interested in?
I would be remiss to my Marvel roots if I didn't mention Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I feel like each season has gotten better with that show from a pretty lackluster start in season one. And although I'm a little leery of them throwing Ghost Rider in this season, which seems like a really ham-handed way of trying to tie really tenuously into Doctor Strange. You know, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt because the last two seasons have been really good. And I really like what they're doing with Daisy's character, who I actually absolutely hated in the first season, but they've just improved her again and again each season to where I'm actually really looking forward to seeing what's driven her to this point where she's basically a criminal now that we saw in the tease from the end of last season. And, you know, I'm looking forward to what they do with the series.
Mm-hmm. It'd be interesting. The only thing I couldn't get over is Ghost Rider is not going to have a motorcycle.
Yeah, apparently no, that's the new version of Ghost Rider.
It's the new guy in the comics, not the one that. It's not Nicolas Cage.
Well, they could have still gone Danny. I would have preferred Danny Ketch. I mean, yeah, I get it. John Blaze has been played out in the movies, and he was awful. But you know, give us Danny Ketch at least. But yeah, this I can't even remember his name. But the car doesn't work for me.
No, it was like I saw it. It was like, really. Really? Ghost Rider is a motorcycle bad guy.
And or motorcycles good guy. Are cheaper than cars anyway.
I think they wanted to avoid any link back to the Nick Cage movie because it left such a bad taste in people's mouth.
Oh, that's funny. But yeah, it's going to be interesting. I agree. I completely enjoy what S.H.I.E.L.D. has done. It's going to be interesting to see because I don't see how they could bring back the character of Grant again.
I figured it out because the end of the third season, they said that the project that the scientist guy was working on was the life model decoy project. So I think Ward's going to come back as an LMD. I'm 90% sure that's going to happen.
Yeah. Okay. Another return I'm very excited about is not a BBC show, but a Dave show. We are having the return of Red Dwarf.
Yes.
So Red Dwarf season 11 is going to be coming up in the UK. And they're already taking orders for it on our Amazon store. It's the first thing actually we have. We're doing pre-orders for season 11 because it has not been scheduled yet here in the US.
Mm. Oh, wow.
But you also haven't... there hasn't been any confirmation yet by BBC America about Class, which is also starting off, which is the Doctor Who spinoff.
I'm really excited about Red Dwarf. I felt like the last couple of seasons they did way back in the day, season 7 and 8, were not very good. And I was really worried when they did. And I didn't really like the Back to Earth sort of miniseries they did. But season 10... which I was leery of, was really funny and very much old school Red Dwarf. So seasons 11 and 12 have me very interested, and I'm excited to see the boys from the Dwarf back.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So it'll be interesting. And season 10 actually reignited the series for me because the Back to Earth one was just horrible.
Yeah.
And so I was glad to see they caught the magic back, and from what all the reports are saying, this season is going to be just as good. So, and they filmed season 11 and 12 back to back.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So, getting rid of Kachansky was a big deal because she like dragged down the series towards the end. It was pretty bad.
That's a good way to put it. That is totally. Any other shows that are coming back that you're looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to Once Upon a Time, which is a show that I felt last season had played out, and I was like, but the way that they left it, I feel like they've finally injected some new life back into it, because for the longest time since the first season that they had established that every fictional world has its own reality that can be accessed, but they haven't done much with that concept. And with this last season, they've basically opened the door to characters from all over fiction to be able to interact. So it's not just the fairy tale Disney characters anymore. We've already seen Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. We're going to get Captain Nemo this coming season. We're going to get Morpheus, the Greek god. We're going to get all kinds of different you know, characters in the show. And I'm hopeful that that's going to, you know, shake things up and make it interesting again. And being someone who's always loved those concepts of, you know, well, what, you know, like League of Extraordinary Gentlemen is an example of just taking all these different fictional characters and seeing what happens when they interact. That's got me really excited.
It was funny when you said Morpheus. It was just like, when you said that, I was just like thinking, what? They got Neil Gaiman's character? Now that would explode my head and make me watch the show again.
I guess like my only worry about that with Once Upon a Time is like, it's a cool concept, but can my worry with Once Upon a Time has always been, what are they doing now? Can they really handle this?
Yeah.
I'm very curious to see this one as well. I've followed Once Upon a Time. I do think that the past couple seasons have not been as good as the start. I wasn't a big fan of the Frozen tie-in. That one felt too gimmicky and some of the other things they've done. But I think you're right. This could be kind of like a little fresh restart and kind of some interesting things to do. But it definitely depends on how they handle it. And I hope it won't get away from them, because I think this could be a really cool twist on the story and some new challenges for these characters.
Mm-hmm. No, agree completely with that. So I'm going to go around real quick and let's ask, you know, what are we most looking forward to this fall? Let's start with Tara.
I mean, probably the Gilmore Girls episodes or like mini series type thing that Netflix is doing. I was a huge Gilmore Girls fan back in the day, and it's one of those shows I've watched most episodes 3 or 4 times each, if not more. So I'm really excited to have a few more episodes coming my way. And I hope Netflix is going to do it justice. For the most part, they do a good job, you know, so.
Okay. Ashley.
I'm looking forward to Arrow. I know some fans have kind of jumped ship, and the past couple seasons haven't been as good as the first and second seasons, which was really strong. But I think the show still has promise. I like the characters, so I'm hoping they will turn it around. And then the new show I'm looking forward to is Luke Cage. I just loved what Marvel and Netflix have done, and this one just looks like another great one to add to that list. So I'm very excited to see that.
Awesome. Very nice. All right, Nathan.
For me, I think it is going to be The Flash, even though I felt like season 2 played out a little too long and the whole Jay Garrick thing was just kind of, you know, and even though they kind of fixed it at the end, it doesn't like wash the bad taste out of my mouth. But Zoom should have so been Eddie. It would have made so much sense and it would have been way better. But anyway, but I feel like Flashpoint and what they're doing there, I always love alternate timelines and everything. So I think that that's going to be the show that has the most potential to be just really awesome this season. But for the new shows, it's timeless. That concept I just adore. So I'm really looking forward to it.
No, agree completely. What about Mikey?
Flash and Ash, baby. I'm going to... what Nathan said about Flash, I've already said that that's like, I think my favorite show right now. And then Ash versus Evil Dead, that second season starts up in about 3 weeks. And I'm very excited for that. The first one was very fun. Now that they've got the rights to reference Army of Darkness material, and they're introducing Ash's father, played by Lee Majors. I'm like, that's all I need. This is going to be awesome. So good campy horror fun.
All I need to say to that is groovy.
Groovy.
Okay, for me, looking forward to, I have to say, The Flash. But also, I am very, very much looking forward to, like we said, Walking Dead. Because I want to see who Negan took.
Who he takes out.
Exactly. You have to see it. It's just... It was so well done. I like who they got to play Negan.
Yes.
Yes.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
He is just awesome. And so it'll be interesting to see the interaction if they don't kill off Rick, and to see what happens there between the two of them, because there's some pretty interesting confrontations if you go by what the comics say.
I personally don't think they're going to kill off Rick, Michonne, or Carl. Also, I may or may not probably, yes, quit watching the show if they kill off Rick or Michonne, because Michonne is like the most important thing on that show to me right now.
I would not put money on not it not being Michonne. They were telegraphing some stuff about that, like the last season, and I just like, well, I was like, well, I don't know. So, who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I mean, I think the odds-on favorite right now is still Daryl, right?
I have heard that people have seen him filming, but I think for me, I'd give it most likely Abraham, and then second likely Glenn, and then third likely Daryl.
Right.
Okay.
I think Maggie's in there too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be a nice little flip, actually.
But yeah. Oof. But if
actually, there are rumors that he actually kills more than one person, and with Maggie being pregnant, that would technically.
Ooh. Oh, don't go there. Don't go there.
I mean, it's. I'm just saying.
Okay. We want to hear from you guys at home. What are you guys most looking forward to? Please, please write us esopodcast@gmail.com. We definitely want to hear from you guys, and we'll read next week up what you guys write. So please let us know. Let's take a quick break. Angela's up next with Geek Girls Take, and then it's the Con Report.
Welcome to A Geek Girls Take. I'm your host, Angela, and this week, this geek girl is talking about her favorite TV shows that'll be starting up this fall. It has been a long summer with very few new episodes of shows, but fear not, they're starting soon, and I am so excited. First off, let's start off with the show I am most excited to see this week. American Horror Story Season 6 starts September 14th on FX, and I cannot wait to see what they have in store for us this season. Their marketing has been so vast, I cannot wait to see the theme. Because, I mean, every season they have a theme, and they haven't told us this year. And the commercial spots have been so creepy and so varied that I'm so excited to see what we're going to get. South Park is also returning on September 14th. Now, last season was really, really hilarious, so I am excited to see what will go on this season. I'm sure a lot more about elections, since that will be the hot topic in the upcoming months to make fun of. Monday, September 19th, Gotham returns. This show has been such a fun show to watch, having grown up reading the Batman comics. It's nice to get a series with a different perspective on the superhero and their villains. September 20th at 10 p.m. we get Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. back. What will we see this season? And how will they feed the story of the agents more into the Marvel Cinematic Universe? Hopefully we'll get to see that too. On September 25th, Once Upon a Time starts back, and I am holding on to this show in hopes that they will keep me entertained. I love the earlier seasons so much, but last season I started to wander, and I'm hoping this season will pull me back in. Tuesday, October 4th, holy crap, The Flash is back. I am so excited for this season of DC shows. October 5th, Arrow is back. October 10th, we get the Supergirl on CW. And then Legends of Tomorrow returns October 13th. And Supernatural will be following that on October 13th. And this isn't a TV show, but it's a broadcast that I'm really excited to see. The Rocky Horror Picture Show on Fox with an all-new cast that comes on October 20th. And Tim Curry's involved, so, I mean, I'm hoping it's going to be really, really awesome. Holy cow, that's a ton of new TV. I kind of feel like we need more hours in the day so I can watch it all and still be able to do everything I'm supposed to do. But thanks for listening to A Geek Girl's Take. What will I talk about next week? Well, you're going to have to listen to find out.
Welcome back. Now it's time for the ESO Con Report.
Con!
Well, as probably no surprise to anybody who is a even semi-regular listener of Air Station One Network, pick a show, any show, we experienced Dragon Con a couple weeks ago.
There are shots for it, though. So
okay. Yes, I know, right? Some of us are still recovering. It didn't disappoint. It's the biggest event, I think, collectively, that we all look forward to every year. And, the one thing that I will say personally, and I think, you know, as a podcaster as well, one of the highlights every year now at Dragon Con for the last 5 years has been reuniting with the ESO family. Dragon Con was the first time I'd ever met my co-host Mike Faber face to face. And since then, it's been more and more and more. Every year I meet more people from the network, more people that are related to ESO, more people that have been guests, more people that we've reached out to, some people that we're talking to about coming on shows, future shows. Certainly we do some live recordings of ESW, ESO. We do our ESO network special. We do panels and whatnot. But we're also, ESO is also a big part of Dragon Con outside of those, whether or not we're running to a panel or to somewhere and we see someone in the hall that we've had on the show, and we just do a quick like fist bump or shout out to each other, or Mike and I are having a conversation somewhere and someone after a while comes up to him and says, "Are you Howdy Mike and Mike from ESO, Director Faber? Because you guys sound like, you know." And it's a great, great experience. Being part of the network, I think, and it really feels like a family. I mean, when we were recording our ESO special that has been released now that you can all hear, our special Dragon Con report, we're all sitting around a table, and it might as well have been a Thanksgiving table. Because we're all sitting there having dessert, apple pie, and smiling and just having a good time and reminiscing and enjoying each other's company. And that I cannot speak more highly of the ESO colleagues and the listeners and everybody associated with Dragon Con as far as the ESO network goes. It's a great, great family reunion.
Exactly. For me, it's like, these are my kids. I hate to put it that way. Well, if you think about it, when I started ESO, it was just me and my cousin Dan.
It's true.
Who was also
at DragonCon. I mean, not this year, but he's been there before.
Dan has been right from the very was there right from the beginning, and you joined up with episode 17, so you've been there almost all the way through too.
Yeah.
Sure. And so for us to see what this has grown into, it's just amazing. And I even had meetings at Dragon Con talking to new people who want to join the network. And so we've got new shows coming along and based off some of these meetings, and there's a couple of possibilities for other ones joining. And we do, sadly enough, have a couple that are going away. And then I was happy to hear, since I've been back from Dragon Con, we have two podcasts that used to be on the network that have gone inactive that are starting to pump up again and are going to be right back into the network again.
Nice.
So I'm very happy to announce, I could do it right here actually, is that we're very happy to say that the 13th Hour is coming back to the network.
Woo.
So Debbie Vigay's podcast and the Chimichanga podcast is coming back.
Nice.
So those guys have taken like almost a 2-year hiatus, and so we're real excited to have them back on the network and just going full steam again. And like Jason and Rita even said, they're coming back and they're going to be doing weekly again for Transmissions from Atlantis.
Very nice.
So good things are coming, and we have a couple of small projects we have coming up that you'll be hearing some changes to the network. And, we're just trying to plug along. So Dragon Con is just like icing for us. I wanted to call the ESO network recording, I wanted to call it the ESO family reunion almost.
Yeah. I mean, that's exactly what it feels like.
Exactly. And because these people, even if they just joined the network this year, like Mandy from the Caster Quest, who we met for the first time at Dragon Con in person.
It was their first ever Dragon Con.
Yeah, exactly. But then we also had Mary from Earth Station Who.
Yep, who's I think she's been doing it for a little over a year now.
Yes. And it was really surreal, her meeting Phantom for the first time in person.
Did they fight? No,
yes, it was a battle to the death of Earth Station Who podcast partners.
So. It just has to be said that it is a great time. And I don't mean to, I know this is a con report, not the ESO network report, but a lot of a lot of our affiliates, a lot of shows that are on our network were represented at Dragon Con, as you've just heard. So please, if you were at Dragon Con, or even if you weren't, you know, I definitely strongly encourage you to check out some of our ESO and other fellow network shows, because they're all great people, and they all have their little different take on everything. And a lot of them are covering Dragon Con, but I guarantee you not one of those podcasts will be the same. They're all coming at it from a different perspective. And that, like I said, they're all great shows. And look, Mike and I we don't just take any show that wants to be on our network. These are strong, strong individuals with visions of what they want to do, the kind of shows they want to do. And some of them are ambitious. Some of them are overly ambitious. But all of them are fun and worth a listen.
Yeah, some of them pass us up way, way up. And some people think, oh, how do I get on the ESO network? Just ask. No, it's actually more than that, folks. It really is. We, you know, we go through and we listen to the different shows who try to join. And we have actually respectfully declined some people because, you know, they just were not a good fit. So, you know, and there's other shows that have joined, you know, or tried to join us that, you know, they just wanted to be on every single network and such. And we don't want that. We want people who want to be on ESO and actually want to be part of a family. So,
yeah. So, well, that's enough about ESO and Dragon Con. And like I said, if you want to know more about what happened at Dragon Con, just follow, listen to some of our reports on it, our panels that we've done. It was great fun. And again, we thank everybody associated with Dragon Con for putting on one hell of a weekend. And we're already looking forward to doing it again in 2017.
So. Exactly. We are planning on 100 people dressing as Howdy Mike Gordon.
Sure. Going to be the own section of the parade, huh?
Exactly. Led by the Tiki Zombie guy.
That would be intense. Well, okay, so let's move on. This is the Con Report, so let's talk about upcoming conventions. And you know what? People, you don't have long to wait. There's a really great convention coming up in October 7th through the 9th. It's Monsterama. It's in Atlanta. And one of the organizers is our good friend of the station, Anthony Taylor. And look, we've been to this show. This is the third year for it.
Yep.
The last two were great fun. If you are interested in classic horror, not so much new horror, although there is some programming for that, but classic horror especially, you definitely want to check out Monsterama. Their main guest is none other than the alluring, the beautiful, Carolyn Monroe. Let me just say it. Carolyn Monroe is the main guest, she's delightful. I've never had the chance to meet her, but I've seen her on interviews, et cetera, et cetera. She's had a varied career. She's worked on Bond movies. She's worked on big horror movies, Hammer horror. She's done special effects, sci-fi movies. She's done adventure movies. She's done a lot. So she's got quite the range. And then they've also got some other great guests. James Marshall from Twin Peaks is going to be there. Zach Galligan from Gremlins. Dacre Stoker, who I believe is related to Bram Stoker. He's got a Dracula book that he's part of. And our good friend of the station, Martin Powell, is a guest as well. And myself and Peter will be there. Peter Cutler, artist of Tiki Zombie. We will be guests. And in fact, this is the first time I'm announcing it publicly on a podcast or whatnot. But we are actually putting on, we are responsible for the Friday night pre-party or kickoff party for Monsterama. It's called the Tiki Cthulhuau. And it's basically, you know, there's going to be music. There's going to be mermaids and there's going to be madness. It's going to be really crazy. We've got some fun entertainment, and that's going to be October 7th. The whole convention takes place the weekend of the 7th, 8th, and 9th. Friday is the 7th, and Friday at 7 p.m. is when our little party by the pool starts, and it's going to be pretty interesting. So if you're intending to go to Monsterama, please see if you can add Friday as a time to go, because you don't want to miss this party. It's going to be pretty cool. But we're going to try to have Anthony on to talk a little bit more about the event in the next week or so, so he can give you the full skinny on exactly what to expect at Monsterama. But we're all looking forward to that. It's going to be I know a lot of other friends of the station are going to be there as well. So it won't be quite as huge and as intimidating and crazy as Dragon Con, but it's going to be a nice, intimate convention full of passionate classic horror fans. So I definitely encourage, especially in October, that's exactly when you want to do that. So it's going to be fun. And after that, we really don't have anything formally scheduled for the rest of the year. So if you've got a convention that you would like us to help promote or be part of, please reach out to us. We love participating in conventions. We love promoting conventions. We love talking about conventions. If you've got a, if you were at Dragon Con and want to rave about your experience there, or if you want to talk about another convention that you just love, please reach out to us because we love talking about conventions.
So that's going to wrap up another episode of the Earth Station One podcast. Wanted to thank everyone for joining us. And man, it was a great time to talk about all the new TV shows that are coming and even talking about all our summer movies that we had gotten right and some that we just got egg on our face over. It's always fun to do that. I couldn't have done the show and made it through a successful Dragon Con without my co-host, Mr. Mike Gordon.
As always, it's my pleasure.
Anything you want to shout out about, sir?
Well, you know, I can't say it enough. And for those people who have listened to, you know, some of our Dragon Con exploits or see me online, et cetera, but I really need to shout it to the heavens because I can't thank John Cogwheel enough. For showing up at Dragon Con dressed as Tiki Zombie. That was, if nothing else had happened the entire weekend, that right there was enough to make my year, to make my whatever you want to call it. It's definitely a highlight to have a character that I created someone, you know, do a cosplay of. So it was an amazing honor. And the fact that he did it was such... I mean, the costume was just amazing. I mean, the mask he made was really well done, really incredible, really, like, if I had hired a professional, it couldn't have been any better. So I have to give a big shout out to him.
Awesome. And you know what, Mike? I'll put a little bit of a spoiler out there. For those who listen to the Dragon Con report, that is going to be the cover for the next episode. It's already created.
Gotcha. Wow, cool.
Yeah. Hey, how's that for a little bit of a sneak peek there?
Look at that, Tiki Zombie making covers and headlines.
Exactly. Okay, and let's thank our guests for being here. Ashley, you made it through the whole episode with us.
I did. I always enjoy doing the summer wrap-ups and talking about fall TV stuff, so it's a pleasure to be back.
Definitely, and wanted to, of course, thank you all the reviews you've done with us all throughout the summer and everything. It's been great.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that. It'll be kind of a little quiet period, but then things will start gearing up again in November with quite a few, so I'm looking forward to those.
Of course. And anything you want to shout out about real quick?
Yes. Yeah, just real quick, for those who are TV buffs, Entertainment Weekly just came out with their annual Fall TV Preview issue, and I think it covers like more than 130 shows, so it's quite extensive. But it hits on network shows, cable, and streaming, and it's just kind of a fun way to catch up with some favorite shows that are returning and some new ones, too. So if you want to learn more about what's going to be in TV screens this fall, I would definitely recommend checking newsstands for that issue.
That's awesome. And, of course, Tara, thank you so much for coming back. We can't have to wait another year.
Yeah, I know. We'll have to talk about some other episodes I can join in on sooner than that. But, yeah, thank you so much for having me. I enjoyed it.
No problem. Anything you want to shout out about?
The biggest one is probably just my conventions. If you're into Song of Ice and Fire and or Game of Thrones, Ice and Fire Con is April 28th through the 30th next year in Pembroke, Virginia. It's in the mountains in Virginia. We actually moved locations from our first few years, and now we're holding it at the lodge where they filmed most of Dirty Dancing.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah, so the tickets for that are on sale at iceandfirecon.com. And through the end of this year, they are $60 each. And then the other convention that I am, you know, currently in the process of founding, our first year is going to be – our first convention is going to be next October, is a Steven Universe convention. It's a Cartoon Network show. So definitely look up beachcitycon.com because we're running a Kickstarter right now. And we made our goal of $7,000 in less than an hour. And now we've got some pretty big stretch goals up on our Kickstarter. So pretty excited about that.
That's awesome. That is great. And Nathan,
thank you for having me on, Mike. It's been really fun.
Exactly. And hopefully we'll have you on soon to make a certain announcement.
Yes. I like I said, I don't think it'll be too long now.
Mm-hmm. As I said earlier in the show, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, I'm never going to live that one down.
Nope. Nope, nope, nope. You know, we have to give you some ESO hazing sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, no, I understand.
Yes, exactly. It's all done with love, of course.
Right.
Anything you want to shout out about?
Yeah, I was a little leery when Big Finish announced that they were going to do Third Doctor Adventures and actually recast the Third Doctor. That the first volume of that came out last year, and it was actually incredibly excellent. If you're a fan of 70s Doctor Who, and especially the John Pertwee era, I recommend checking it out. And the next volume is coming out in November. So I definitely recommend that people who are fans of that period of Doctor Who give that a try as well. And I'd also like to shout out for Chicago TARDIS, which is also coming in November. It's a con that I go to every year. It's always a ton of fun. You get a lot more interaction with the guests than you do at a lot of cons that I've been to. In fact, you can even pay to have breakfast with them on Sunday morning. This year they're going to have the entire Second Doctor's list of companions. They're even going to have a few First Doctor companions, and also Louise Jamison, who played Leela, as well as K-9, who for some reason I didn't have dinner and my mind is blanking on his name, but the voice actor, John Leeson. John Leeson is going to be there.
Affirmative.
So they have a ton of people there this year. And for fans of the new series, Michelle Gomez is going to be there. So definitely a lot of, you know, Doctor Who related characters or actors are going to be there. So should be a fun time.
That is awesome, sir. Yep. And, you know, it's pretty cool. I've heard great things about Chicago TARDIS. I know Mike has been there also.
Absolutely. It's a good time. Really good time.
Exactly. So awesome. We might have you come on to do a con report for it.
All right. That sounds great.
Awesome. All right. My shout out real quick. Since we didn't have time to do rants and raves this week, my shout out is going to go to the Hollywood Bowl. That's right, folks. Judy and I went to another concert. We're gluttons for punishment that way. You know, we went to Dragon Con, and 2 days later, we flew to California, and we went on Saturday night to go see Jeff Lynne and ELO, Electric Light Orchestra, at the Hollywood Bowl play with the Los Angeles Philharmonic, and it was amazing. It's one of my bucket lists that I always wanted to, A, go to the Hollywood Bowl to go see a concert, and B, to go see ELO live, and it was so fantastic. It was beyond belief. It's hearing 10,000 people singing along with all these songs that you grew up with and that you knew by heart. It was just, it was awesome. I couldn't even put it into words to do it. And it was neat the way they did it. They had the Los Angeles Philharmonic be the opening band for Electric Light Orchestra. So, you know, anytime you have, you know, them opening for you, and then they stayed and played with ELO at the same time to get the full sound. It was just truly amazing. And it was Judy's birthday present, and she was like floating 3 feet above the ground the whole time. So it was just awesome. And he was only playing 5 shows in the United States, 3 in Los Angeles and 2 in New York at Radio City Music Hall. And if, believe it or not, it's actually cheaper to go to Los Angeles to go see him than it was at Radio City. So that's because people had been asking, why did we go to California from Atlanta? So it was great. I can't put into words, and it's going to be hard to beat that for this year, you know, favorite shows. So, you know, we have a lot more concerts that we have planned to go see. So we'll bring it up to date and let you guys know what we're going to see. So with that being said, we are done for this week. Thank you to Alex Autry for joining us earlier in the show. And, you know, he could be found doing his stuff, you know, whenever he gets around to doing Seventh Row Center, or, you know, whenever he posts on Facebook. So it's always awesome to see Alex. And also, of course, we want to hear from you guys at home. Please write us esopodcast@gmail.com or leave feedback for us, 404-963-9057. Or if you went to Dragon Con by any chance and want to leave some memories, we do have another Dragon Con report coming up, and we are going to, you know, be talking all about it. We want to hear from you guys. Go to the ESO webpage, esopodcast.com, and right on the right side of the page, there's a little button there that you could record for free a 90-second message, and we'll play it up on the air and tell us your Dragon Con memories, if you could put it into 90 seconds or less. Or, as we said to some people, what you remember in 90 seconds or less. So it's pretty darn awesome. So join us again next week, where we are going to be looking at the films of David Lynch. So it should be kind of interesting, going a little bit warped there. So, talking about, you know, everything from Dune to, you know, Twin Peaks to Blue Velvet to Mulholland Drive. You know, there's tons and stuff that we can definitely talk about with David Lynch. And, you know, that's another thing. I think 2017, new Twin Peaks. So that's something to look forward to. I don't know if it's in the spring or in the fall, though. So it'll be interesting to see. Please, of course, you know, thank you for supporting the network, supporting the station, going to the Amazon store. Everything you guys do, our numbers are growing, and we're not joking about that. Mike and I got recognized. We talked to a lot of fans at Dragon Con. We talked about that in a bit in the con report. So, you know, we are thankful as always for you guys, and it makes my heart grow every time, you know, I hear great things people say about the podcast or somebody on the network. It just makes me feel great about it. And it's all thanks to you guys at home. And with that, we are done. And we will see you here next time on Earth Station 1. My name is Mike Faber, and we'll see you then. Peace. And we're done.
You've been listening to Earth Station 1, a weekly podcast that explores the many worlds of all things geek. Please write us at esopodcast@gmail.com or call us at 404-963-9057. And if we find what you say interesting, we'll put it up on the air. If you've enjoyed our show, please rate us or leave feedback for us up on iTunes. And while you're there, subscribe to our show or any of the ESO Network podcasts. We can also be found up on Stitcher Radio or wherever fine podcasts are found. ESO is also available up on most social media sites like Facebook, Twitter, and so many more. The show is brought to you by the fine folks at the ESO Amazon.com eStore, where right from our website you can find all kind of geeky goodness. And if you get something up there, you also help support the station. ESO also has a Zazzle store to buy cool ESO merchandise and such. Show your ESO love with something from Zazzle. To learn more about ESO, our website is esopodcast.com. The show is produced by Calico Productions. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you here next time on the Earth Station 1 podcast. Peace.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.